Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to come into your very presence, to feed upon your holy written word, your word that will change us from glory to glory. May we not just be hearers of the word this morning, but may we be doers of the word, enjoying and partaking of the benefits in the word. I declare, oh God, as your word comes forth, it comes forth with power. It comes forth backed by your spirit, oh God. And whatever we came with here today, I declare that we will hear from heaven. Even as when Jesus Christ was praying and the heavens opened up and the voice of the Lord spoke, I declare that heaven is open over us this morning. This morning we hear from heaven. We hear directly from your word. Speak to each and everyone personally, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. It is a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's turn our Bibles. The last couple of weeks we've been studying on our covenant that we have with God. And we looked at Abraham cutting the covenant with God and what it meant to him after he cut the covenant. He went from asking, from how shall I know, to becoming fully persuaded that what God had said will come to pass. And then we look at examples as well in the life of Mephibosheth. We look at the woman who was bowed down and couldn't get up. Jesus said, because you are the daughter of Abraham, rise up and walk based on the covenant. And then last week we looked at the high priesthood ministry of Jesus Christ as it relates to the covenant. And so this morning we'll continue along those lines, looking at the high priesthood ministry of Jesus Christ. That's a very, very important and vital thing for us to know, because this whole program, this whole gospel program is based on the covenant of Jesus Christ. Now, the new covenant, there is the old covenant and there is the new covenant. And Jesus Christ is the high priest of that covenant. So let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to Hebrews chapter 9, 11 to 12 this morning. Oh, glory to God. We have the pulpit and everything. We'll set it up at a new place. Hebrews chapter 9:11-12. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and cows, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It says Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come. Notice, good things to come, good things to come, good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and cows, but with his own blood. With his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. Hebrews 9, 11 to 12, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That is one of the first ministries that he did when he rose from the dead. You see, the whole revelation, this whole Hebrews, if you study it very carefully, is a revelation that God gave to the Apostle Paul, and it constitutes what God did for us in Christ Jesus, number one, in his substitution, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then number two, what the Holy Spirit is doing in us now through the Word of God. And then number three, what the Holy Spirit can do through us in our ministry to the world. And then the final part is what Jesus Christ is doing for us right now at the right hand of the Father. So you see, if all Jesus, most of the time, a lot of time, we've studied in the past as well here, we spend a great deal of time looking at the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what happened. And a lot of time, most of the time, we study along those lines. But if you think about it, if all that Jesus Christ did ended up at the cross, that would not have completed the story. Or that would not have completed our redemption. Remember when Jesus Christ, when he rose up from the dead, when he rose up, Mary saw Jesus. And she was so excited to see Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ said, "Touch me not. Touch me not. Touch me not." And that scene, we see that in John chapter 20, verse 11. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 20, verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John chapter 20 and 11. He says, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And when she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?'" And then if you go to verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you have laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Why did he say, "Don't touch me"? Because he had not yet taken his blood into the very holies of holies, like we've read in Hebrews. He said, "Handle me," and later on when he appeared to his disciples, he says, "Handle me, for flesh and bones did not, I'm not a spirit. Flesh and bones, just touch me." So he said, "Don't touch me." After he appeared, he said, "Touch me." What happened in between? He was on his way to complete the redemption of mankind. Hallelujah, to present his blood as a token of that covenant so that the redemption of man can be complete. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were separated from God. That is what necessitated, that is what became necessary for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come back and to offer his blood, the precious blood of the Lamb, to offer that. Hebrews says, remember we read it, I say that not as the high priest, who has to go in every year with the blood of goats and bulls and animals. No, that did not take care of the issue or take care of the sin problem that Adam and Eve had caused. It only covered the people of Israel for a year, and then after a year, it had to be done again. But remember in Hebrews, he says, he's done it once and for all. Hallelujah. Once and for all to purchase the eternal redemption for us. So that was the first ministry of Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. You see, you have to be conscious of the fact that the thing that changed my life, the thing that transformed my life, was when I realized that Jesus Christ is still in the ministry. So many times you only think about what he did in the 3.5 years. But thanks be to God. He said he's been made a high priest. He is still in the ministry. He hasn't left his ministry. He said of good things to come, of greater things, is what he said. He is still our high priest. But the first ministry that he had to undertake when he was resurrected from the dead was to take his blood into the holies of holies. And when the Father saw it, he said, that's enough. That pays for the redemption of humanity. That made it available, redemption available for you and I to be able to come into the kingdom of God. And it made that available, think about it, for the whole world. Redemption is now available for everybody who will accept it. Redemption from what? Like we saw last week, Christ, Galatians 3:13, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, the curse of the broken law. Christ has redeemed us from it. And when you come into the family of God, when you come into the house of God, you now become a partaker of that redemption that has been purchased for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You become a partaker of that redemption. Like you said in the past as well, when he was on the cross, we'll see that later in this lesson, he took our place. He took our sins. He took on the curse of the whole world, the curse that had come upon the world as a result of what Adam and Eve did. He himself took that curse for us. He was made sin for us. And he took our place. What the punishment that we should have borne, he bore it. And the good news is that it's a once and for all ministry that has already been done. When somebody commits a crime and they are punished for that crime, once they come out, once that sentence is passed, that sentence doesn't need to be passed again. That sentence doesn't need to be served again. So it is with us. Christ Jesus has paid for that redemption. And so, we don't have to pay that price again. He has paid that price for us. That is good news on any day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that was the first ministry that he undertook for us, was to present. I wanted you to see the distinction between when he arose from the dead and said, don't touch me. And then after that, when he appeared to his disciples, he says, handle me, flesh and bone. I'm real. I'm resurrected. He actually resurrected. Hallelujah. Now, another thing that he's doing there for us is that he's a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Hallelujah. I want these things to be very real to you. Jesus Christ has to be real to you every single day. There are things that he's doing for you right now. He's not an absent, he's not dead, he's alive, and he's undertaking and doing certain things for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shed in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hallelujah. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Notice that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Merciful
and faithful high priest. Merciful and faithful high priest. Merciful and faithful high priest. But then he says that he had to partake of flesh and blood. He himself shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hallelujah. He partook of our nature. He partook of our nature, came from heaven, partook of our nature. And not only did he do that, he destroyed him. He destroyed the devil that had the power of death. So far as you and I are concerned, that devil has been destroyed. We have been delivered from bondage. We have been delivered from captivity. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Walk in that consciousness so that the devil doesn't take advantage of you. He said that through fear of death, we were all our lifetime subject to bondage. But thanks be to God, a champion came from heaven. He came and he defeated the enemy for us. He destroyed him for us so that we can walk in the victory that he purchased for us. Totally. Another translation says that he paralyzed him. He totally whipped the devil. Totally defeated him. The one, the arch enemy of man that had held man in bondage was defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Totally destroyed him that had the power of death for us. And not only did he do that, he's now assumed the role of a merciful and faithful high priest. And he's doing sacrifices. He's doing things for us in things pertaining to God. So what is he doing for us? What is he doing for us right now? Jesus, our Savior, what is he doing for us right now? Let's explore that deeper. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11, like we saw that earlier on in our study, he purchased the eternal redemption for us. That is a once for all ministry. That's already been done. But Christ, let me read that again, came as high priest of the good things to come. Bad things? No. Good things to come. Good things to come. With a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of this creation. His tabernacle is not being made by hands like the one in the old covenant. His tabernacle is eternal. His tabernacle was made by God Almighty himself, and he's there right now. He knows you. He knows where you live. He knows about you. He knows the things that you go through, and he is there as a faithful and merciful high priest on our behalf. He's doing that for us now. And one of his ministries that he is doing as well is that he is there for us as an advocate. Hallelujah. He's there for us as an advocate. He took on our nature. He took on the nature which was the nature of the devil. And he, when he hung on the cross, there was a divine exchange. And when he did that, redemption was available to man. He didn't know any sin, but the Bible says that God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read that first and then we'll read 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things of defeat have passed away. The old things of failure have passed away. The old nature that you had in you has passed away. And there is a new creation on the scene. You are a new creation. You remember when Adam and Eve was created, when they were a new creation. They had never existed before. When Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he was a new creation. He became sin for us. He became the curse for us. And now we have become new creations. Hallelujah. That is what the devil is concerned about. That's what the devil is worried about. You are no longer the old person that you used to be. That is what is called being born again. That is what is called being born again. You are born into the kingdom of God. The old nature ceases. The old nature stops. The old nature has ceased to exist. And a new man or a new person is on the scene. Hallelujah. I have a story of a criminal that was convicted, and he was a murderer. He was on death row, convicted to die. But somebody went to that prison and told that person about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he received the good news and became born again. He was born into the kingdom of God. A new creation came on the scene. And then he started learning about the Bible and started speaking what he wanted to see. Everybody could tell the difference in this person. The person was totally transformed. He started telling everybody in the prison that, look, the old person that did murder, that committed this murder, is no longer the same person. That person has died. A new man has taken his place. Physically, you are the same when you are born again. Nothing changes, but the new man that he's talking about is the person on the inside. That person has become new. And so this prisoner began to say, that old man is dead and gone. This new man doesn't want to kill anybody. This new man wants to love people, wants to introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to love people. This old person is dead and gone. And by virtue of that, he said, I'm going to come out of this prison and I'm going to go out to the whole world and tell them that I'm a new man, I'm a new creation. The people said, no, what are you talking about? You cannot get out of prison for murder. He said, no, the person that committed murder is dead. That person is no longer existing. And then it came his time for parole. He said, people like you don't get out the first time when they get on parole. No, it's not going to happen. He said, no, don't you understand? The old nature, the old man is dead. I'm a new creation. And thanks be to God, when he went, he was acquitted and he was released. And that man ended up in the ministry preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what the grace of God can do. Can take the meanest sinner, can take the worst person in the world, transform them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. If you are in Christ, be conscious of that new nature. Be cautious. You are a new person. What is that new nature? That new nature is a nature of love. That new nature is a nature of faith. That new nature has all the fruits of the Holy Spirit talked about in Galatians chapter 5. In it. You see, so many times we tell people we try to change people's attitude or behaviors while they have not been born again. No, reverse it. When they get born again, they will have a desire to stop all committing all the sins that they've been committing. But be conscious of the fact that if you are born again, you are a new creation. And another verse says, you are a new species of being. You have been born into the very kingdom of God. And all you have to do, your inner man, your the person, the real man on the inside is born again.
The physical nature you still have to deal with, but because you are born again, God gives you the power and the ability to be able to overcome the flesh. Your mind still is the same. Your mind now has to be renewed so that you won't think like you used to think, but you will begin to think according to what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eternal redemption is available for all. And that is our mission. That is what I've decided to do. Tell everybody that I can tell. If you read those verses, he says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. And not only that, he has now committed the ministry of reconciliation to us. And now he is in us, and we go and tell the world that you are not supposed to remain the way you are. The price for your redemption has been paid. The blood of Jesus is now in the holies of holies. That covenant, that new covenant is now in force. And so come back to God. Hallelujah. Let's continue. He said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That what will happen? That we might be made the righteousness of God. That is one of the revelations that God gave to the Apostle Paul. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were ashamed to go into God's presence. And since then, man, because of sin, is ashamed to go into God's presence. But he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That we might be made the righteousness of God. That we might be made the righteousness of God. What is righteousness? Righteousness means right standing. Righteousness means we can go into the presence of God unafraid, unashamed. We can go and stand there and know that he is our Father. Because of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, we can go into the very presence of God and stand there unafraid, unashamed. Hallelujah. You might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness. Righteousness. All that Jesus did was because he knew that he had a Father. And then he also knew that he had dominion over the devil. And so he could stand in the presence of Almighty God, unashamed, unafraid. And he knew that when he prayed, the Father would hear him. Hallelujah. And so we have now also been made. We are not trying to be righteous. He's made us the righteousness of God in him. Made us righteous that we can go into the very presence of God. No matter what the issue is, no matter what the impossibility is, we can go because the way, the new covenant has been opened, the way has been opened, so we can go into the very presence of God. Unafraid, unashamed. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, remember, at the tomb of Lazarus, 4 days, the person was dead. Dead. Mary and the other people said, what are you trying to do? By this time, he's begun to stink. But Jesus, when he was told about that story, he tarried in that place for a couple of days. But when he got to the tomb, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And not only that, thank you that you hear me always. God hears Jesus always. And then he stood at that tomb and said, Lazarus, come out. And Jesus and Lazarus came up, totally unafraid even of death. Unafraid. We have that same nature in us. The very nature of God that is in us is what causes us to be bold. It's what causes us to be unafraid. It's what causes us to come into the very presence of God. You can come there and say, thank you, Lord. You are my Father. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, I know that you hear me. And when you hear me as well, you grant me the petitions that I desire of you. Righteousness makes you bold to go into the presence of God, makes you bold in the presence of the works of darkness and the works of the enemy. And you can stand there and say, this thing that has come upon me, whatever the situation might be, is not part of the redemption ticket. He has redeemed me from the curse. He has redeemed me from sickness. For my sickness, he gave me health. For my poverty, he gave me his riches. For my nature of death, he gave me a new nature. I have the very nature of God in me. I have Almighty God indwelling me right now. He is there for me. I am born of God. You see, in the Old Testament, you read so many times the genealogy. This person was born of God. This person was born of that. This person was born of that. This person was born of this. But in the New Covenant, our genealogy is just one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. We are born of God. We are born of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our genealogy is just one. Born of God. Born of God. You are of God. Hallelujah. This morning, say that to yourself. I am of God. Let's all say, I am of God. I am of God. I am of God. If you are a Christian, you are of God. You are born of God. That is your genealogy. You are now a child of God. You are now a child of God indeed. You have the very nature of God in you. Just like when our children, they have characteristics of their natural parents when they are born. We now have a new nature. We now have a new nature. We are new creations. Born of God. I am of God. Tell that to yourself every day. I am of God. This week, every day, tell yourself, I am of God. I am of God. I am of God. And what happens? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who have you overcome? Remember, you destroyed him that had the power of death. You have overcome the devil and his evil spirits that are in the world. You have overcome them in your own strength and power and ability. No. You have overcome because greater is he who is in you. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. You walk every day with that consciousness. Number one, you are of God. Number two, you have overcome them. You have overcome whatever is in the way. You have overcome the trials, the circumstances, the needs that you have. Whatever comes your way, you have, not you are going to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not that you are going to overcome. You have overcome. Why? Because Jesus overcame for you. And all you do is partake of that victory that was purchased for you. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You have overcome. He overcame for us. And we walk in that victory. What is in the world? Trials, tests, circumstances, the devil and his evil spirit that will try to trouble you. But thanks be to God, you are not on your own. You have overcome. Because the one who is in you is greater. Remember, he's the high priest of good and greater things to come. The one who is in you is greater. So no matter what the situation or the circumstance is, you can tell yourself that the greater one is in me. He is my merciful and high priest, and he indwells me. Hallelujah. God was in Christ when he was in the world. Now he is in us. Now he indwells us. We are of God. We are of God. That is what will, that consciousness alone, that you are of God, is what will cause you to walk in victory, to walk and be an overcomer. Hallelujah. You have already overcome. You are of God. You are of God. And remember, if anyone is in Christ, he is, not he's trying to be. But you see, all these verses are in the present tense. You are not trying to be a new creator, no. You are not trying to overcome. You have overcome because the greater one is in you. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Oh, glory, he is in us. Hallelujah. He is in you. He is in you. He is in you. You can talk to him and he will talk back to you. That is the whole point of redemption, to fellowship with you. You can fellowship with him. That is the whole point of the new covenant. Now you are not afraid of him anymore. You can come. Where is he? He is in you. He is in you. He is in you. He is in you. What is he doing in you? He's there to help you. He's there to help you. Is he just an excess baggage for us to carry around? No. He is there to help us. He's there to help us from the time you become born again till you get to heaven. He's there. The Bible says that he's an ever-present help in the time of need. He's there to help you. There to help you. Hallelujah. To put you over. To walk in the victory that has already been purchased. Hallelujah. Oh, I get excited talking about this. So many times in my life, I had to depend on the greater one on the inside of me. Lord, what should I do? You can ask him, what should I do? Which way should I go? What should I do? And he tells you, go this way, do this, don't do that. And then your path is ever shining and shining and shining unto the moon and perfect and brighter day. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. What else is he doing for us? He's there. I touched on it. He's there as our advocate. He's there. Someone would say, what if I sin and I step out? What if something happens and I step out? I do something. What's the moment that the believer sins and steps out of his relationship, God has provided a way for them to come back. He's a family lawyer that pleads our case. Pleads our case so we can be restored back to fellowship with God. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't have even an immediate way. Don't think about it. They didn't have an immediate way to come back. It took all these years for God to send Jesus Christ to come and redeem man back to himself. But thank God, now he's provided a way for the believer who is out of fellowship to come back to God. Hallelujah. He's the mediator of the new covenant. Let me touch on that first. If you don't finish, we'll go to see next week. He's the mediator of the new covenant. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. He's doing that now. If he wasn't there as a mediator, the meaning of the word mediator means a go-between. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is exciting stuff. I get excited when we get into it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse, thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy, I apologize, chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, 5. 1 Timothy 2, 5. I think we touched on this a little bit last week. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, or the man Christ. He is the one that is there as a mediator, as a go-between. If he wasn't in that ministry right now, fallen man would not have a way to get back to God. He's there. You see, redemption has already been purchased. Redemption is already available to the human race. But he is dead. There's only one person. There is only one way back to God. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is there as the mediator of the new covenant. He is there as a mediator. He is there as the one that there for us in the mediator. So when the sinner comes to God and says, "I've heard your word, I've heard the gospel. Now I believe that Jesus Christ died and was raised up for me." Because of that ministry, that Jesus Christ is in there as a mediator, God sees that and says, "Thank God." He looks at the blood that has purchased the eternal redemption for mankind. And he takes that and accepts the sinner, and he is born into the family of God. Born into the family of God. He's doing that right now. Everybody that comes into the kingdom of God is because there is a mediator. One man, nobody else can take that position. One man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is there in that position as a go-between, as a way for the sinner to come back to God. He's the mediator as well of the new covenant. He's there enforcing the new covenant. He's there as the high priest of our confession, the mediator of the new covenant. And that covenant is better than the old. Way better. It says greater good. It's better than the old. He's done it once and for all. I want us to leave this morning with that consciousness. Once and for all. But he's there right now, for there is present. All these things are in the present tense. You see, you have to think of Jesus Christ as being in the now. You have to think of him as being in the now. He's right now there as a mediator of the new covenant. He's not absent. He's there as the mediator of the new covenant. As the mediator. He's the mediator between man and God. He is the only person. So many times in the book of Acts, Christianity was called the way. The way. The way. The way has been opened back into the very presence of God. And Jesus Christ, because of him, we can come to the Father. We can come to the Father. To the Father. Hallelujah. So that's one thing that he's doing for us as well. And then, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And then, 1 John chapter 1, 9 and 10. And then 1 John 2, 1 and 2 talk about his ministry as advocate. His ministry as advocate. His ministry as advocate. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You see, remember, the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. Man divided it into chapters and verses just to make it easier for it to reference. And so the believer, these letters were written to churches that were born again, that were spirit-filled. They were there, spirit-filled churches. These letters were not written to sinners. So he's saying that if the believer sins because of Jesus, if we confess our sin, remember, he is faithful. Notice that word faithful again. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when the believer sins, there is that word righteousness again. When the believer sins, he loses his sense of righteousness. Anytime you do something that you know is wrong, you lose your sense of righteousness. You feel bad. You feel ashamed to go back into the presence of God. By saying that if he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, for if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If you sin and you cannot go into the presence of God, you know that you step out of light into darkness. If you say you haven't done that and you are walking in darkness, then you make him a liar. But then, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just. He will be unjust not to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
And then if you continue down to chapter 2, verse 1, it all follows in sequence, but I just wanted you to see. It says that we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He doesn't want you to sin. The new nature anyway doesn't want to sin. The new nature wants to please God. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Notice, we have, that is also in the present tense. That is a ministry he is doing right now. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Do you notice that? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. You step out of light into darkness by virtue of sin when you sin, but we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
Good news. Not for us, just us, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the one that is righteous. He has made us righteous. And when you sin, you step out and you felt unrighteousness. You lost your consciousness of your righteousness. But he is the advocate. He's there right now. There's not so many people are in darkness. So many people have condemnation over things that they've done, even though they are Christians. There is no way, there's no need for them to stay that way. There is a ministry that is available to them as part of the new covenant for them to be restored back to God. Jesus Christ, the advocate. Jesus Christ, the family lawyer, if you want to put it that way. He is the one that pleads our case. He is there right now. Be conscious that Jesus Christ is still in the ministry. He is the righteous one. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Think about it. Think about it. People that are out there doing all sorts of things, the price has already been paid. So part of his new covenant ministry is that of an advocate. Advocate. Pleading our case for us. It's part of the new covenant. It's part of the agreement. He's already paid that price. It's already, he's there in that ministry, in that capacity as an advocate. Never left that ministry. He's never left that part of his job. Ever present. He is there as the advocate for the believer to be restored back to relationship with God when they step out of fellowship. Jesus Christ, the advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's there right now. And man, when the believer steps out, they can come back into fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a merciful and faithful high priest. That is part of the new covenant. It's part of the new covenant that is ratified in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel.
Jesus Christ, the advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Jesus. Therefore, there's no reason for the believer to walk in condemnation at all, because the ministry of Jesus Christ is available.
Hallelujah.
Let me touch on this one and then we'll finish with that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Another thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing for us is that he's there for us as an intercessor. as an intercessor, ever living to pray for you. Ever living to pray for you. Think about it. Having somebody who prays for you all the time. You see, sometimes somebody may say, oh, I'll pray for you. Or maybe I'll pray about it. But maybe they'll forget. But no, not Jesus. Ever living to make intercession for you. He's praying for you that you will run your race and finish your course. He is praying for you that whatever that you are going through, he is there. He is there for you as an intercessor, standing there between. He prays not only for us, he prays for the whole world. He wants the whole world to be reconciled back to him. So we can go boldly into the very presence of God because there is an intercessor who is there for us. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. To 16, talks about the boldness by which we can come into the very presence of Almighty God. You shouldn't be afraid of God. He's your Father. That's what he longs for. You can go boldly into the presence of God. Let's read that. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest. We have. I like the fact that it's always in the present tense. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, Jesus, how I love him. The Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Yet, without sin. And so he says what? Let us therefore come boldly. Let us come crawling. Let us come calling down. No, we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, oh, he is real. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. He is the high priest of our confession. What are we supposed to confess? We are supposed to confess our redemption. We are supposed to confess that he's the one that supplies all our needs. We are supposed to confess that his word is true. And his word that he has spoken about our case is true. The integrity of God's word. We are supposed to confess that. Let us hold fast to that confession. Because what we say, he is the high priest over that confession. He's going to see to it that it comes to pass. Let us hold fast to confessing the integrity of his word. Let us hold fast confessing that we have a high priest. We are not orphans. We have someone who has passed into the heavens. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not that he cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. No, he knows exactly what you are going through. He knows exactly where you are in your walk with him. He knows exactly where you are. He knows where you live. He's been there before. He says he was in all points tempted just like us. Tempted yet like us, but without sin. He knows exactly who you are. He knows you. But he says on the basis of that, we have a high priest. You see, that is what caused my faith to develop. What is what caused my faith to grow? When I realized that Jesus is a high priest. Jesus is in the now. No matter what the situation is, every time, everywhere, no matter where you are, no matter where I am, he is with me. He is a high priest, ever present. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And he ever lives to make, I went with that, ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. This high priest that we are talking about, ever lives. Therefore, he's able to say to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That way, saved dead, if you dig a little bit into that, it means to heal, it means to deliver. He's able to deliver, he's able to save, because he ever lives to make intercession, ever lives to pray for them. And Romans chapter 8, verse 34 also emphasizes the same thing. We have an intercessor. Say that to yourself, I have an intercessor. Hallelujah. Someone that ever lives. For who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Where is he? He is at the right hand of God. He is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Ever living to make intercession for you. He's able to save those who come to God through him, because he ever lives to make intercession for you. He's praying for you. He's saying, you can make it. You can do this. You can run this race. You can finish your course. Hallelujah. And be fruitful in the kingdom of God. He's praying for you. That need of yours, that doesn't seem to be going away. He knows your finances. He knows your health. He wants to heal you. He's able to save those that come to God through him, because he lives to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. Let's end with that. Hallelujah. When you leave this place, when you're asked, what did you study today? Don't say the preacher, he preached very well. What did he preach about? I don't know. No, remember, Jesus Christ, he is your high priest. He is your mediator. Remember, he is the advocate. And remember as well that he is your intercessor. Repeat that to wherever you think. That's what you learned today in a church. Hallelujah. Amen. Ever living to make intercession for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning you have heard the word of God. Ever living, Jesus Christ, our high priest. He is in the now of our lives. He is interested in every single detail of your life. And so, family of God, if you are like that, just say, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you were raised for me. And that now I can walk with you. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. And I thank you, Lord, I am a child of God. Thank you for taking me into the family of God. We give you praise and glory.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.